Elizabeth Elliot says, I think we might divide up all the people in the world into two classes, the complainers and the thankful. Which are you? Which am I? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, the challenging radio ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty and Passion and Purity, Learning to Bring Your Love Life Under God's Control. Helping you find joy in your Christian walk with the Savior today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about how to simplify your life. I've been giving you some principles throughout this week. I'll just review them quickly. Acceptance. It is always possible to do the will of God. Choose your attitude. The consolation of obedience. Do it now. Do the next thing. And give it to Jesus. And now I've got one more. Give thanks always and for everything. And that is a very difficult assignment, I find. I can give thanks in everything, if I really take myself by the scruff of the neck. And I can give thanks often, but the Bible says that I am supposed to give thanks always and for everything. Now, can you fathom that? It's a tough one. Ephesians 5:20 says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 34:1 says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. It's not very difficult to give thanks to God for things that we were hoping would happen. That's easy, isn't it? It's giving thanks to God when the untoward happens. The thing that we were not expecting and would least have wished for. And then there's give thanks for everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Are you having a hard time? Just very recently, I was with my brother-in-law, Bert Elliott, who is the older brother of Jim Elliott. Many of my listeners, I'm sure, know the name Jim Elliott. He was one of five American missionaries that were killed back in 1956, and he was my first husband. And Jim's brother, Bert Elliott, whom very few people have ever heard of, has been a missionary in Peru for 50 years. 50 faithful years. And he and his wife have been married for 50 years. And my husband and I were privileged just a couple of weeks ago to be with them in Portland, Oregon, when they were given a great big party by the church that supports them. And somebody in that group asked them, what was the most difficult thing in your missionary life? And they described what certainly would have been the most difficult thing I could even imagine. When they first went to the eastern jungle of Peru, they stayed with a missionary couple. I think they were a childless couple. At least they didn't have any children at that time. But they were living in a pretty miserable hovel of a house. It was made of clay, and it was very small. It had just one bedroom. And Bert and Colleen were given a corner of the living room with a curtain around it for a bedroom. And the bathroom was a bucket. Now, can you imagine spending a whole year living in somebody's house like that, in a corner with a curtain around it and a bucket for a bathroom? And they are among the most radiant, joyful, cheerful people that I have ever known in my life. And of course, I challenged them in asking, did you give thanks always and for everything? And they both laughed. Of course, they had to say no. But they learned that. In fact, they said, it was that year, that most difficult year of all, that enabled us to continue in the work that the Lord has given us. And the Lord has given them tremendous blessings and tremendous opportunities. A man came to me one time at the Urbana Missionary Convention. He was a missionary in Peru, and he said, "I want to tell you something about your brother-in-law that you probably never heard." He said, "Your brother-in-law has founded at least 45 churches in Peru." Now, mind you, some of them are very small, very struggling churches in very remote areas of the high Andes and in the steaming jungle, the eastern jungle. But they are churches, and they have probably countless spiritual children, although God has never given them children. But they were able, from that very first year, to give thanks, even though they were having a hard time. I'm sure there are plenty of you who are having a hard time. I hear that so often, and I wonder sometimes just how hard it may be. Let me ask you some questions. When Jesus, for example, says, "Love your neighbor as yourself," do you immediately say, "Does this apply to me? How am I supposed to love that miserable neighbor?" Do you say to God, "I want to do it, but I can't"? Or maybe you say to God, "I ought to do it, but I don't want to." Or maybe you say, "I wish God had never said that." Now, what are we going to do with all those difficulties? Well, to the first one, does this apply to me? I would say that if we come to God with an empty cup, asking Him to reveal His will and help us to do the right thing, no matter what it costs, He will certainly show us. For the second, "I want to do it, but I can't," we have God's promise, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." God never gave a command for which He will not supply the power to obey. Now for the third objection, "I ought to do it, but I don't want to," we know that we have been created with the will to choose. We may choose to do what we ought to do, and God will help us. If the last, "I wish God hadn't said it," describes our hard time, let's be straightforward with God, confess the truth, and submit to His word as an obedient servant. Obedience always leads finally to joy. So we are to give thanks always and for everything, even if you're having a hard time. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the brilliant Russian writer, when he was in concentration camp, and who can imagine the horrors of concentration camp in Russia, wrote this prayer, "How simple for me to live with You, O Lord. How easy to believe in You. You fill me with the clear certainty that You exist and that You watch to see that all the paths of righteousness be not closed." I love that part. "You watch to see that all the paths of righteousness be not closed." There must have been a strong temptation for Solzhenitsyn to feel as though the paths of righteousness were completely closed. What could he possibly do that would glorify God in a concentration camp? Well, if God sees to it that all the paths of righteousness are not closed to us at any given time, then it behooves us to accept that and to give thanks that He has put us in this position. Giving thanks always and for everything is a willed choice. It's not going to happen because you feel good about it. That's mere emotion. Take yourself by the scruff of the neck and choose to give thanks always. And when Amy Carmichael had to discipline one of her little children, do you know what she made them do after she had given them the paddle? They were required then to say, "Thank you, Amma. Thank you for the spanking." You've heard me tell about a lady that I consider my Canadian mom. She was dear old Mrs. Cunningham, sweet white-haired lady, when I was just a Bible school student in 1948. And she had come to my door one day. I had no idea who she was, but here was this radiant face surrounded with pure white hair. She had pink cheeks and such a lovely, loving look in her eyes. And she said, "Are you Betty Howard?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Oh, Betty dear." She was Scottish, of course. "Oh, Betty dear, you don't know me, but I know you, and I've been praying for you for weeks. And I wondered if you'd just like to pop down to my little apartment, and we'll have a cup of tea." Would I turn down an invitation like that? You bet your life I didn't, and I plowed my way through the snow many a day, many a bitter winter afternoon. I would go down to Miss Cunningham's little basement apartment, and she would put the kettle on, and she would get out her Bible. And it seems to me that virtually every time I was there, she would give me Romans 15:13. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope." Someone is listening to me, I'm sure, who needs those wonderful words. Romans 15:13. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Give thanks always and for everything. It will simplify your life."
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.